This News Talk 1010 podcast is brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
How is it that some people are overwhelmed by the slightest disruption or change in their lives, while others seem to make it through catastrophes relatively unscathed? Or the two people experiencing the exact same event, such as a job loss, managing a big merger, or fighting a serious illness, can react in completely different ways. The answer comes down to hardiness, your ability to resist the damaging effects of stress. And that is according to clinical and research psychologists Stephen Stein and Paul Bartone. And Stephen Stein is also the founder and executive chair of Multi Health Systems, a leading assessment and behavior analytics company. He's on the line with me now. Hi, Stephen. Thanks for doing this.
Hi, Barb. Glad to be with you.
I'm really enjoying the book. I find it not only very relatable, but there is a lot to learn about hardiness. Let's talk about exactly what hardiness is.
Sure. Well, hardiness, you think of it as a form of resilience. It's really made of three things. The first one is what we call commitment, and that has to do with having a strong sense of purpose or goals in your life. The second is challenge, and that has to do with being flexible, embracing change, learning from experience. And the third one is control, and that's the ability to really control what's going on in your life, take charge of the things that are happening with you.
They're all so important. A couple of points that I've gotten so far from the book, and maybe you can speak to these. A big one is, don't live as though you think you're going to completely eliminate stress from your life, because we all have stress.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we try and do, you know, there's so many people trying to reduce stress and meditate, and these things are all good, but they don't always work for everyone. And what we've learned from studying people in, I guess, high-stress jobs, performers, Olympic athletes, professional athletes, is that they use the stress to their advantage. And, you know, the kind of stress you have, which is anxiety stress, the physiological aspect of it is the same as excitement when you're excited about doing something.
Oh, interesting.
So the thing that differentiates the two is really your thinking. It's what's going on sort of cognitively in your mind. And if you take into account these areas that we talk about, control, challenge, and commitment, changing your thinking can make a whole difference in how you approach stress.
You know, one of the biggest things I find in terms of people feeling in control of their lives and feeling happy is to recognize that we are in control of the choices we make, and to own the choices that we make.
And that's so important, you know, the fact that we understand what we control and we learn from it. Even when we do something and make a mistake and it doesn't go the way we expected, the ability to learn from that and to move on is so important.
You know, I have a thing that I do, and I learned this years ago, and it may sound silly to some people, but I have found it very helpful in order to give myself kind of a gut check when I'm in a stressful situation. When things seem to be going wrong, I will say, thank you for this opportunity. Even though I have no idea what I'm thanking for, it becomes a thing that allows me to look at it like there's something here for me. There's something for me to learn here.
And that's really important. What you're doing, it's almost like a ritual. And, you know, that's interesting because that's one of the things we found in the high-performance athletes, that they have a ritual that they do when things go wrong, when they miss a shot or when, you know, they do a bad jump off a swim diving. They have a ritual that they do, and that just changes everything for them.
A lot of people listening to this might wonder how this is relatable for them. And a lot of what you talk about in the book has to do with people who might feel stagnant, who might feel bored, who might hate their job. Which of the C's is that about, and what can people do about it?
Well, one of the ones we start with is commitment. And what that's about is to just finding out what it is in life that gets you excited, that, you know, really turns you on. We all had passions or things that we liked when we were young, when we were kids. And for many people, it's about finding that passion again. For me, it was music. I had stopped playing music for over 30 years, close to 35 years. And when it came back to me, it made such a difference in my life. So that's an important thing right there.
And so that's something that you're pursuing outside of work, and people might listen to that and think, well, he has the time. I don't have the time. Right?
I wish I did.
Right? But we have to make time for the things that make us feel good, because that's that alone, your hobby can give your life purpose.
Absolutely. And it's something I actually schedule in my calendar. That's how important it is. But even at work, we can look for the little things. You know, in our jobs, there are probably some things we like doing and some things we hate doing. And it's really getting that control aspect, trying to do more of the things you like and less of the things that you don't like.
So when we talk about hardiness and commitment, challenge and control, in order for people to maybe see whether or not they need to try to improve their hardiness, what would be the opposite of that? Describe a person who is low on the hardiness scale.
Well, what we found when we looked at occupational groups, people who are in, for example, fast food service, where they don't have much control over their job, they have to do the same routine thing over and over, they don't have a future to look for, they're working paycheck to paycheck, those are the kinds of things. When things go wrong, they just get depressed over it for a period of time, they don't get over it quickly. Those are the things that we find when we looked at people who were low in hardiness.
How can any of us improve our hardiness?
Well, one of the things to start with is probably to just think of yourself and your life and where you want to be. Where would you like to be 10 years from now? Where would you like to be 5 years from now? Where do you see yourself in a year? To set these goals, to set a purpose in your life, something that you strive for, and then you work backwards. You start working day to day to get to that goal.
If somebody doesn't know, you know, I don't know what my purpose is, I don't know what excites me, should they just pick a direction and go, like maybe volunteer or do something? People sometimes think that's kind of dumb, but I think it really gets you out of your own head.
It's definitely one way to start. Helping people is often a good thing, because then you see people suffering more than you are, right, when you're helping other people. And it makes you feel good when you help other people. You give them a leg up. So there's a number of ways that you can look for or find your purpose. But that's a great place for people to start.
And I'm assuming, based on all that we're saying, that in companies probably run better when their leaders have that hardiness quality.
Absolutely. We looked at the idea of hardy leaders, and actually I think it was Fortune magazine that identified that as one of the key factors that differentiated their top 50 leaders this year. Was that we were really surprised to see that, because our book was coming out simultaneously, but they identified hardiness as a key leadership factor, because it spreads throughout the organization.
Is writing books and sharing your knowledge part of your purpose?
Absolutely. I love writing. As you know, I've written on emotional intelligence. I've written on now hardiness. And I just love doing that and communicating it and traveling around the world, giving presentations on these topics. It's really part of my purpose.
There is a great website to go with the book, hardinessmindset.com, hardinessmindset.com. I am loving the book, and I know it will do really well, and I think everyone should give it a read. I mean, I think there are lessons in there for everyone. So thanks so much for this.
Thank you, Barb. Great speaking with you.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by pocketemploymentlawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to pocketemploymentlawyer.ca.